I want you to pull out your phone, open up ChatGPT right now, and type this exact phrase. Who are the best attorneys in my practice area, in my city?
So if you do personal injury, you type, you know, who are the best personal injury attorneys in Atlanta?
Yeah, exactly. Or divorce in Chicago, whatever it is. Mm. Just see what comes back.
Yeah.
Because, well, if your firm's name does not pop up in that generated response, if it's just not there, you just watched a potential client get handed directly to a competitor.
And they weren't handed over by a paid ad. Right.
Yeah.
That is the crazy part to me.
They didn't win because they outspent you on like massive highway billboards. They won because an AI handed that client over on a silver platter.
Which is just a terrifying thought for anyone managing a firm's growth right now. I mean, thousands of people are running those exact queries every single day.
Every day. And the majority of law firms are completely blind to the fact that they're losing out on them before the client even hits a search engine. Welcome to the Legal Marketing Playbook from Forward Push Law Firm Marketing. If you are a lawyer looking to stay ahead of the curve, trying to navigate a landscape that feels like the ground is just, you know, moving under your feet, you are in the right place. I am Ron, your lead guide for today's deep dive.
And I'm Sandy, your co-host. We definitely have a lot of ground to cover today.
We really do. Mm. We are doing a deep dive into this fascinating, really eye-opening article straight from the Forward Push Law Firm Marketing website, all about AI search.
And our mission today is to unpack the mechanics of what is actually happening.
Right, like why it's happening, and most importantly, how you can position your firm to actually win those AI recommendations. But to understand the sheer magnitude of this shift, we have to look at the battlefield lawyers have fought over for basically two decades, the traditional Google search results page.
Because that page looks vastly different than it did even like a year ago. A lot of attorneys are still operating under this assumption that getting to organic position one is the holy grail.
But that top spot just doesn't mean what it used to. Not even close. Let's map out the modern anatomy of a Google search. Say a prospective client types in personal injury attorney Atlanta.
Okay, so before they see anything else, what pops up?
Google generates a Gemini-powered AI overview right at the very top. Then you scroll past that and you hit local service ads.
Right, the Google screen stuff.
Exactly. Then you scroll past those and you get the traditional pay-per-click ads. Keep scrolling. And there's the Google Map pack. Below that, the people also ask drop-down questions.
And then finally, way down at the bottom of the screen, you reach the organic blue links.
Right. So an attorney could be spending thousands of dollars a month on traditional SEO to maintain organic position one, but the user practically has scroll fatigue before they even see the firm's name. You are effectively fighting for position six.
Wow, position six.
Think of it like owning the most brilliant, perfectly placed billboard on a busy highway. You fought for years to secure that spot.
But then overnight, the city zoning board approves like five massive flashing neon billboards right in front of yours.
Yes, perfect analogy. Your billboard is still there, it is structurally sound, but the traffic has to drive past an overwhelming amount of information before they can even squint to see your message.
Okay, but let's look at this from the user's perspective. With organic results pushed so far down, are prospective clients actually stopping at that top layer? Or do they still, you know, scroll down out of habit to find the traditional website links?
The data shows they absolutely are stopping at the top. The attention is captured before it ever reaches you. And that behavioral shift, that sets up perfectly why AI tools are taking over.
Because a massive share of prospects are realizing that scrolling through links is just inefficient.
Exactly. So they bypass Google entirely. They go straight to a chatbot to ask for a direct recommendation.
Which is a complete departure from the old internet model. For 20 years, the whole marketing premise was just show up when someone searches. But tools like ChatGPT or Perplexity or Claude, they aren't serving up a menu of links for the user to sort through.
No, they are synthesizing the internet. They read the web, evaluate the sources, and produce a single cohesive answer. To the person asking, it doesn't feel like using a search engine.
It feels like getting advice from a highly knowledgeable friend.
Yes. And when you are making a high-stakes decision, like hiring a lawyer for a nasty divorce or some high-level business dispute, a synthesized recommendation from an AI carries immense psychological weight. It possesses this implicit objective authority.
I think that implicit authority is the key, really. When you get a list of 10 blue links, your brain says, okay, these are advertisements or businesses competing for my attention. I need to vet them.
But your guard is up.
But when an AI gives you one specific name and explains why they are the best fit, your defenses drop. It feels curated just for you.
And we actually have real-world proof of how powerful that trust transfer is. The article we are referencing today highlights this phenomenal case study. There's a bilingual tax controversy attorney named Sammy Kim.
Oh, yeah. She built her practice from scratch after leaving a large firm, right?
Exactly. And today, she is one of the very few attorneys in the country whose name consistently surfaces when someone asks an AI tool for help with a complex IRS matter.
And we know this isn't just, you know, a theoretical vanity metric. The source confirms this is showing up in her actual site analytics.
Right.
She is getting verifiable referral traffic directly from ChatGPT.com, Perplexity.ai, Claude.ai, and Gemini.google.com.
Real people asking the AI who to call, getting her name, and clicking through.
Yeah.
But here's the metric that should make every lawyer listening sit up and take notes. When those AI-referred visitors book a paid consultation with her, they convert at 95%.
Wow. I mean, 95%. That number is almost unheard of in traditional legal marketing.
It really is. A 95% conversion rate means the AI has done all the heavy lifting. The client doesn't need to be sold by the time they hit the website. The AI already convinced them.
They basically arrive ready to sign the retainer. The trust the user has in the AI is transferred directly to the attorney.
That is the stakes of this game. Figuring out how to get inside the brain of these AI tools so you become the recommendation is the new battleground. And the biggest, most immediate battleground is Google's own AI overview.
Because Google still has the sheer volume of users, right? It's integrated right into the default search experience for billions of people.
Exactly. As of January 2026, Google's AI overviews are powered globally by their Gemini 3 model. It sits above everything.
Yeah.
And this presents both a massive threat and an unprecedented opportunity.
The threat being that the overview absorbs the user's intent. They get their legal question answered right there in the summary, and they never scroll down to your organic link.
Right. But the flip side is, if you are the firm cited inside that overview, you instantly bypass the local service ads, the map pack, the paid ads. You are the definitive answer.
You get the most prominent position on the modern internet.
But AI tools do not use a traditional keyword ranking algorithm. You can't just stuff the phrase Atlanta car accident lawyer onto a page 50 times and expect Gemini to recommend you.
Right. AI builds recommendations based on signals of credibility.
Yes. And for Google AI overviews specifically, you have to master a few critical signals. The first one is schema markup.
Okay, I want to pause here and challenge this from the perspective of like a solo practitioner or a managing partner. Lawyers are trained in jurisprudence, not web development.
Sure.
So if someone hears schema markup, they are going to tune out, assuming they need an expensive IT department. What is this mechanically, and is it something a standard law firm can actually control?
It is entirely controllable, and it's vital to understand mechanically. Think of schema markup as a universal translator between human language and machine logic. When you write, "We handle personal injury cases in Atlanta," a human understands that. But an AI has to parse the syntax and infer the meaning. Schema markup is structured code, specifically JSON-LD, hidden in the back end of your website.
So it doesn't change how your site looks to a human?
Not at all. But to an AI, it delivers your firm's data in discrete, pre-organized packets. It tells a machine, entity type is law firm, practice area is personal injury, location is Atlanta, attorney credentials are state bar certified.
So without it, the AI has to burn computational energy guessing what your website is about. With it, you are spoon-feeding the AI the exact facts it needs to confidently categorize you.
You are removing the ambiguity. Firms without schema are simply harder for Google's AI to describe accurately, so the algorithm takes the path of least resistance and skips them for a firm that provided clean data.
That makes total sense. It's like handing a judge a perfectly indexed tabbed binder instead of a loose stack of unorganized papers. The judge is going to rely on the binder.
That is a great analogy. The second signal you need for Google AI overviews is well-built FAQ sections. Gemini loves pulling from FAQs that directly answer the long-tail questions people are searching for.
Especially if you have a practice area page with an FAQ that is hyper-specific to your state's laws and your local market.
Exactly. You are giving the AI discrete, easily citable answers. And third, you still need traditional topical authority. Google's AI overviews heavily pull from pages the core algorithm already considers authoritative.
Meaning all the foundational SEO work backlinks, technical site speed, consistent content publishing, none of that is obsolete. It's actually the fuel for the AI overview.
It is the foundation. But while Google is integrating AI into its traditional search engine, we also have to look closely at the standalone platforms. We are talking about Perplexity and ChatGPT.
Because the users on these platforms are fundamentally different in terms of their psychological intent. They are much closer to actually hiring you. But how so? Because if I type a query into Google versus typing it into ChatGPT, the intent feels the same to me. I have a problem and I need an answer.
It seems similar, but the mindset is radically different. Let's draw a sharp contrast here. When someone searches Google, they're in search mode. They are browsing options. They want a menu.
Right.
But when someone opens Perplexity and types, who should I hire for a personal injury case in Atlanta and why, they are in decision mode. They do not want a menu. They want the expert to tell them the best thing to order.
Ah, that makes sense. When someone is in a panic after a serious car accident or a sudden business audit, they don't want to research 10 different websites. They want a definitive directive.
Exactly. And the architecture of platforms like Perplexity reinforces that decision mode. Perplexity is unique because it cites its sources directly in the text.
Right. Every claim it makes links right back to the original page it pulled the information from.
So getting cited by Perplexity serves two functions at once. It acts as a powerful, trusted recommendation to the user, and it acts as a highly valuable backlink for your overall web authority.
And the conversion rates back this up.
They do.
Right.
The article notes that ChatGPT referred visitors convert at 15.9%, while Perplexity referred visitors convert at 10.5%. Those numbers absolutely shatter typical organic search conversion rates.
Because, again, the user arrives highly intentional and already informed. But I want to ask about the strategy here. If a firm decides to go all in on optimizing for AI, is there a universal approach? Like, if you satisfy ChatGPT, does that automatically mean you're covered on Perplexity and Gemini?
I am so glad you brought that up, because that's a massive trap. There is a dangerous myth circulating in marketing right now about a one-size-fits-all AI strategy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The source material contains a critical, honestly concerning statistic. Only 11% of domains get cited by both ChatGPT and Perplexity.
Wait, really? Only an 11% overlap? That means almost 90% of the time, these two highly advanced AIs are recommending completely different sources for the same types of questions.
Which tells us that being strong on one platform absolutely does not guarantee visibility on the other. Each of these AI tools uses different training data, different weighting mechanisms, and different logic pathways to crawl the web.
So they build independent pictures of who the authorities are.
You cannot just write one good article and hope they all pick it up. You have to be omnipresent in the places they are looking.
So let's move from the theoretical to the practical. Knowing the stakes are this high and the platforms are this fragmented, what is the actual playbook? How does a law firm shift its strategy?
This brings us to the shift from traditional SEO to AEO, which stands for Answer Engine Optimization.
Answer Engine Optimization.
Right. AEO is the practice of structuring your content specifically so it gets cited as a direct answer, rather than just trying to rank as a blue link on a page.
I really like the analogy of a library for this. Traditional SEO is like trying to have the brightest, most attractive book cover on the shelf so the patron picks you out of thousands of options.
Exactly.
But AEO is entirely different. With AEO, the patron never walks into the library. They send in a super librarian, the AI, to read all the books and bring back a one-page executive summary.
That is the perfect way to visualize it. You don't need a flashy cover anymore. You need your facts formatted exactly the way the librarian likes to read.
So what does the librarian want?
The AEO playbook breaks down into a few highly actionable tactics. First, write content that directly answers specific questions. Stop naming your pages things like, about our personal injury practice. The AI doesn't know what to do with that vague title.
It needs something concrete.
Instead, use the exact question the user is asking as your headline. Like, what compensation can I recover after a car accident in Georgia? The headline is the question, and the content directly below it provides the complete answer.
So you're formatting the content to mirror the query perfectly.
Second, you must use clear headers. The H2 and H3 tags in your site's code act as a structural roadmap. If your headers are clear questions or declarative statements, the AI algorithm can instantly map the architecture of your argument without having to process every single filler word.
Okay. And third?
Third, build topical clusters.
What does a topical cluster actually look like in practice for a law firm?
Let's look at the mechanics of entity mapping. To an AI, one page about personal injury law is just a single isolated data point. It doesn't prove expertise.
Right. Anyone can write one page.
But if you have 20 interconnected pages, one on car accidents, one on motorcycle accidents, one on dealing with insurance adjusters, one on the statute of limitations in your specific state, and they all link to each other logically, that forms a topical cluster.
So the AI maps those connections and realizes, okay, this domain has comprehensive knowledge of this entire entity.
Exactly. Which leads into the fourth tactic, the depth of the content itself. You must cover topics completely.
Because a cluster of thin 400-word blog posts isn't going to fool an LLM.
Not at all. A 400-word page just tells an AI, you know, the definition of a term. But a 2,000-word page that covers the law, the procedural timeline, typical outcomes, and how to prepare for a deposition, that signals true authority. AI tools cite comprehensive authorities. They do not cite brief introductions.
I want to push back on this a bit, though, specifically regarding how lawyers write. I can already hear the senior partners cringing at the idea of writing a 2,000-word plain language guide.
Oh, for sure.
A lot of lawyers want every web page to sound like a Supreme Court brief because it feels prestigious and academically rigorous. How do you convince a managing partner that writing at an eighth-grade reading level is actually the smartest financial decision the firm can make?
You have to explain how large language models actually process text. If you write in dense, convoluted legalese with 50-word sentences and Latin phrases, the AI struggles to confidently summarize that information for a layperson.
Because the AI is programmed to deliver clear, accessible answers to the user.
Right. If it has to work too hard to decode your brief, it will simply skip your site and pull from a competitor who explained the exact same legal concept simply and clearly.
So the prestige of sounding like a law professor is actively costing you clients because the AI can't translate it efficiently. You have to write exactly like you would speak to a stressed out client sitting across the desk from you.
Plain language is an absolute necessity for AEO. But let's say a firm listens to this and they do everything perfectly. They build great topical clusters, clear headers, 2,000-word pages, plain language, and flawless schema markup.
Okay.
The AI still has to choose between multiple local firms that might also have excellent content. The ultimate tiebreaker, the thing that decides who gets the recommendation and who gets ignored, comes down to local geographic signals and reviews.
Which is where we run into a massive blind spot for a lot of traditional firms, the review problem.
Yes. The article illustrates this perfectly with the 22 versus 200 problem. Imagine an AI is evaluating three law firms in your specific city. Two of those firms have 150 to 200 plus Google reviews.
Okay.
The third firm has 22 reviews. The AI is almost universally going to recommend the heavily reviewed firms.
Which feels incredibly unfair to the lawyer with 22 reviews. Having 22 reviews doesn't mean you're a lesser attorney or that you lose cases. It almost always just means you are busy practicing law and you don't have an automated operational system in place to beg for reviews.
It is an operations problem, not a legal skill problem.
Yeah.
But we have to understand the mechanics of why the AI makes that choice. An LLM doesn't sit there and read your reviews like a human being trying to gauge nuance.
Yeah.
It looks for mathematical consensus. When the algorithm crawls the web, it assigns probability scores to entities. If your firm's name is mentioned 200 times in close proximity to phrases like great attorney or won my case, the statistical probability of your firm being the best answer skyrockets compared to the firm with only 22 positive associations.
It is a volume game for the algorithm. It equates a steady velocity of recent reviews with market presence and trustworthiness.
Exactly. And the good news is the fix for this is incredibly straightforward. It just requires operational consistency. You need to send a follow-up text message with a direct link to your Google Business profile to every single satisfied client the moment their case resolves.
And do not send an email, right? Emails get ignored. Send a text.
Send a text.
And this ties directly back into your local presence, too, because local AI search doesn't operate in a vacuum. It relies heavily on traditional local SEO infrastructure, like the Map Pack.
They're deeply intertwined. Your consistent citations across the web, your dominance in the Google Map Pack, ensuring your name, address, and phone number are identical on every single directory. That is the geographic foundation.
So if you are invisible on Google Maps, you will be invisible to a local AI search query.
Without a doubt.
So if this is the reality of how clients are finding lawyers right now, why are so many firms still in the dark? Why are they hearing about AEO and AI recommendations for the very first time?
The blunt truth is that most law firms rely on legal marketing agencies, and the majority of those agencies are suffering from a massive agency lag. They're stuck in a 20-year-old playbook built exclusively for traditional Google searches.
Wow.
They built massive profitable systems for ranking blue links, and the technological landscape shifted underneath them much faster than they were willing to update their business models.
So they're optimizing for a version of the internet that is rapidly disappearing.
Exactly. AI tools are not futuristic edge cases anymore. They are actively shaping how real people choose attorneys today. So, what should a lawyer listening to this do starting tomorrow morning?
Whoa.
Let's recap the 5 actionable steps you need to take to win the AI recommendation. Number 1, build content depth. Stop writing thin blog posts. Write comprehensive, authoritative answers to real legal questions.
Number 2, structure your site for direct answers. Use the client's actual question as the headline and format your header so the AI can map your content instantly.
Number 3, build your review volume systematically. Turn it into an operational habit. Text every satisfied client a link to your Google Business profile. Number 4, claim and optimize your firm's profile on every platform: LinkedIn, YouTube, Avvo, Justia. The AI needs to see cross-platform consistency to mathematically verify your identity and trust you.
And number 5, earn citations from authoritative sources. Guest articles, bar association links, local news features, those act as the crucial endorsements that feed the AI's trust signals.
It takes time and it takes discipline, but it is not magic. It is just a new set of rules. I want to leave you with one final provocative thought. The article issues a stark warning about the compounding head start happening right now in legal marketing.
A compounding head start.
Yes. AI tools are learning who the trusted authorities are today, and they will carry that mathematical trust forward into their future models.
Meaning the firms getting recommended today are actively training the AI to keep recommending them tomorrow?
Precisely. So ask yourself this. If trust and authority in the AI era compound exponentially over time, what happens to the legacy and the actual financial valuation of your law firm in 5 years if an AI literally does not know you exist today? It is a reality you cannot afford to ignore. We want to thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
Thanks for exploring this with us, everyone.
Keep adapting, keep pushing your practice forward, and we will see you next time on the Legal Marketing Playbook.